Hello and welcome to the Bogeyman Golf Podcast. This is the first episode in a 24-episode series showcasing some of the incredible amateur golf across Ireland this year. All of our coverage of amateur golf in Ireland is brought to you by AIG, dedicated supporters of amateur golf in Ireland. Go visit AIG.ie for a range of golf-exclusive discounts and benefits. Golf Ireland members can save an additional 10% on their car insurance, and you can enjoy some exclusive benefits when you choose AIG insurance. The Bogeymen will also be bringing you closer to the action, even if you can't attend some of these tournaments this year. We will be live streaming the final rounds of the East of Ireland Championship, the Men's and Women's AIG Close Amateur Championships, and the AIG Cups and Shields Finals. These events will be broadcast live on our YouTube and social channels, and we'll have cameras on site and on course, bringing you some of the best amateur action in Ireland. In this first episode, I am joined by Gary Murphy of Irish Amateur Info, a man who's done more mileage than most golfers and does a stellar job in keeping track of every Irish amateur golfer across the globe. Gary, how are you doing? It's the start of another busy amateur golfing season. Yeah, you must be gearing up and ready to go. Must be excited.
Yeah, so kind of putting the final pieces on, kind of, I suppose, getting ready for the season, just organising what events I'm going to be going to, and kind of, I suppose, scheduling time off and where I'm going to be, but really looking forward to it. It's been a long winter of rain and almost depression at this point, so I'm kind of hopefully we get a small bit of sunshine this year on the golf course.
When you put your calendar together and you're looking at the different events, this year's obviously a little bit of an anomaly because there's a lot going on and a lot of new things going on that aren't in there week in, week out. What are the big ones that jump out to you that you really want to get to?
I want to go to the women's amateur. I suppose I went to the men's last year, which was kind of something I wanted to do even before the page. So being there last year, obviously, I want to go to that again this year. But the women's amateur, I just want to see the standard of golf at it. I was impressed with the lad stuff last year, so I think the women's will kind of do the same for me again as well this year.
From like the Irish tournaments, is there anything that you haven't got to that you want to get to that's kind of on the bucket list?
I've been to everything that we'd say that I want to go to. I've been to every men's championship. I think I went to every one of them last year, and I've been to, I'd probably go to between 3 and 5 of the women's ones as well. They can be a bit more difficult because some of them are only over 18 holes and stuff, so it's kind of hard for me to go figure out what's happening and then be there, so it kind of negates me going a little bit. But in terms of the men's, I've been to them all. But this year we'll have Parma Cup in Lahinch, so that'll be an interesting one just to see. But again, that's a mixed event, so but that's going to be a good one. Yeah, my calendar's kind of full with international stuff as well this year. So
very nice. So I guess for anyone listening, we're going to run through the calendar year from both the men's and women's perspective, some of the international events as well. But before we get into that, Gary, could you just give an insight as to why competitive amateur golf in Ireland is so highly regarded, probably a little bit more so than it is in a couple other countries or even potentially in the States? It's much more than just a sport in Ireland. It's really like a cultural thing.
Yeah, and I think that's actually like the last word you said, your cultural. I think as a country, as people, we're very social. So like getting to spend 4 hours walking around slagging people about how good or bad they're playing golf kind of endears to us. And I suppose growing up, all of us pretty much would have played multiple sports and kind of had competitive stuff in our lives all along. Like I know for me, I didn't come to golf until late, and it filled the void of me being able to play a GAA. But so I think if you can get kids in young enough into both sports or multiple sports, golf will take over if they're good enough. And even for lads that kind of become good at it late teens, early 20s, it's just, it gives us an outlet to be competitive, number one, I think, and also just gives us the social aspect. Like I'd be at a lot of events and you'd see a lot of people in groups sitting down chatting. I think like we all went through the spells of like playing sport and then whether it be college or work and going out drinking, and then you get a bit later in life and golf kind of takes over and it does it that way. So I think that's why it's so endearing to so many people that it's very accessible in Ireland as well, which is massive. So I think just the social aspect along with the competition is kind of why we really kind of gravitate towards it.
Yeah, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there, talk about how accessible it is. People can take up the game at different ages, and you can either grow up playing golf from what, like 5, 6, even younger, or equally well, you could take it up later in life and you can compete and get to a level in elite golf and elite sport in Ireland that, you know, you could take up the game at the age of 20, and by 24, 25, less even, you could be competing in like the Irish Close, or you could qualify for one of the major championships, where you know, if you take up football, you take up rugby, very few people will be able to compete at an elite, in like an elite level and compete internationally within a 5 year span.
Yeah, sure. Like even one, like a lad I played golf at all the time, we'll say. So like he played golf as a young boy. He didn't play it then for a number of years. I'm going to say somewhere in the region of like 10 years. Came back playing off five. He's now playing in every championship in about a 4 year period. Obviously had some history of it before, but like was probably playing off 10 or 11 when he was a young fella. Came back, put in a bit of effort, and now he's playing in championships. So like you can kind of really get into it if you, I suppose, one, have the time and two, the desire to do it.
Yeah, that's the one thing. It does take a lot of dedication and a lot of commitment. I mean, even from your side, the amount of commitment that it takes to attend all these events, add on training on top of that to actually play in them is a serious level of commitment.
It is. Like, I think, like, if we're talking, like, people playing championships, and again, like, no matter at what level they are within a championship, like, they're knocking off 20 or 30 days minimum a year just to play golf at championships. And then you're going to have to play another double that, we'll say, at home just to get kind of prep done. And that's outside the coaching and kind of range time and everything else as well. So, like, it can become very consuming over the course of the year. But I think people that gravitate to golf, even people that play just on the weekends, it is very much, once you get into it, it's just, it becomes an obsession for us all, really, doesn't it?
Yeah. And will we see you inside the ropes this year? I know you're training for a mid-am.
So I brought that goal into the fall last year, and then Golf Ireland decided to make the mid-ams 25 instead of 30. And I think that might have curtailed that desire I had. So I had a look at a number of mid-ams last year, and like, you could have kind of got in off kind of one-ish, we'll say. I'm playing off a little bit higher than that now, but like, I've played off two before and stuff, and like in all money, we'll say, so in the old handicap, so I can kind of get back there with a bit of effort. But yeah, I think if I have to get down to scratch, it might be a different bit of a thing. But I love a challenge. This, what I do, kind of social media stuff, takes up a lot of time. So if I didn't give myself a goal, one that was not necessarily going to be easy, I probably wouldn't have worked on my game as much as I have over the winter. So yeah, I know I've been enjoying my training and stuff, just to try and get a few more yards and just kind of stay healthy over the year.
Well, the amount of people that will end up following your round if you do compete in the mid-am as payback for you following all the rounds, you'd have the biggest crowd out there.
Yeah, I've no bother someone following me around as I shank it around any golf course and they can put them all they want, you know. I certainly learned with social media over the last couple of years that, like, bad content, if you want to call it that, but people struggling is kind of, is always seen by more people than things are going well. So if it doesn't go well, I'd probably get more views on it than if it does, but yeah, it'd be good cracking it if I get there.
Yeah. Well, let's get into the serious golf rather than our own golf. So for men's, women's and teams golf this year is potentially the busiest year for a long time. It's been for amateur golf in Ireland, on top of the annual championships that we have, the North, the West, the South, all the likes of those. There's a lot of international tournaments and big amateur tournaments, and probably the biggest amateur tournament on the calendar is headed to Ballyliffin. The amateur championship is going to take place from the 17th to 22nd of June. This is going to be special.
Yeah. I mentioned going over to the one in England last year, and like, in fairness, the RNA, they just run things really well. So like, it's going to be extremely well organized, and like, the players love it. Like, it's a great week for them. They're kind of looked after a bit more than kind of normal, and they kind of really get a vibe for it. But, and I suppose like James Hoogroo went in the one in Port Marnock a while back, there's going to be very much hope, I suppose. Like, we always get a good run in the amateur. There's always one or two players will go deep enough, and so we'll be hoping for kind of something similar again this year.
What are the qualifying criteria then for the amateur championship? I know I was talking to Hugh Foley earlier on today, and for the last amateur championship, the Irish representation is actually quite high, and usually very high.
Yeah, so it's like, you have to be off plus 1.5 as a minimum, and then you have, like, I suppose, to kind of try and get automatic entry, you kind of have to be in the top 2,000 in the world as well. So it can be tight enough, it can be a hard one to get into. So like, there's 250 odd players, plus there'll be a qualifier for those that don't get in automatically as well, up in Ballyliffin on the 14th. So probably talking about 320 people ish will kind of have an opportunity anyway. Like, the 250 will be in the field from memory, I think. Yeah.
That's a massive field. That's a huge field.
But it's the biggest one in Europe, like. And I think, like, so, like, again, they tried to give as many people as possible an opportunity, because, like, Over here, it is like that is the major in Europe. Like the RNA just want participation as much as possible. Like for like if you're good enough to be playing off plus 1.5 in the top 2 in the world, you kind of deserve as much of an opportunity as possible, really. Like,
yeah, that's very fair. That's very fair. So when it was announced, you obviously have your ear to the ground and you're spending a lot of time with the players. How much buzz or excitement was there amongst competitors that the Amateur Championship was going A, back to Ireland, but also up to Donegal?
Yeah, massive. So like I put up a post obviously and like the engagement on it was good in terms of like and like the messages, I suppose, is kind of like I always kind of take news based on messages I get rather than kind of anything else. And like a lot of lads on to me immediately, oh yeah, like that's going to be like everyone likes Ballyliffin as a setup. They present good challenges, they're like really good match play courses. So I think there's familiarity there, I suppose, like a lot of the top lads would have played homes there. And then others, like you have all like the there was a boys' championship up there last year, so like they know the place. No, we're still going to be competing against the best in the world, but like at least you'll have familiarity, of course, and potentially a home crowd, which is going to be massive if we can get that going up there.
So, how important is a home crowd, and how optimistic should we be from an Irish perspective? If we're going to be completely nationalistic about it, having an Irish amateur champion again would be something special.
Well, I suppose I didn't go out to Port Marnock, but you could see the videos. Like people will travel, I suppose, and like particularly with anything else, the later it goes on. So like if you get one or two players ending up in the quarterfinals, the semi-final, you will see people negate up to Donegal, albeit a fair spin for most of the country. People will travel, and I think there's nothing better than kind of walking around seeing people there for you. Like take the East of Ireland last year, you would play off with Alex Maguire and Raf and Sam Murphy, but like Alex and Raf are both close to the course. So like loads of people started coming out once it became a bit kind of normal. So like, and again, you could feel the buzz, and that's kind of the same, similar with all kind of events. Like if you can get the crowd on your side, it's definitely worth a shot or two. Like,
yeah, I think the only thing that's different about Ballyliffin is that it's not really near anything. I remember we went up there for the Irish Open and that was a great week, but my God, it was a great spin as well. It was a big old
journey. I've done it for Holmes, not last year, the year before. And I live in Cork, so you pretty much can't get further away from it. I think it's a 6 hour, 6:20 or something like this. And I left at like stupid o'clock in the morning to try to be there, for, like not waste a day driving, almost drive through the night. And yeah, it was enjoyable, but tiring experience, we call it.
Well, are you going to be then travelling pretty much immediately from Ballyliffin down to Port Marnock? Because the golfing world is going to turn its attention essentially immediately to the Women's Amateur Championship, which is going to be in Port Marnock.
Yeah, timing of it is great. So I'll probably be going from Port Marnock directly from Woodbrook from the Women's Irish Amateur Open, then from Ballyliffin back down to the Women's Am. So it's going to be a tough 2 weeks to try and balance it, I suppose. I'm going to have to try to figure out, like, the problem with Ballyliffin is, as we just discussed, it's 6 hours away. So, like, kind of once I arrive there, I kind of have to almost stay there until the point of where I'm done. The Women's Am is slightly different. It's a kind of 2 hour drive, and I'd probably have to miss one of the days and just hope that we get a later stage in it. So like go up at some point, come home for a day and do what I have to do and then go back up again and kind of see it that way. Kind of it's just unfortunate that, like, I suppose there's about a 3 week stretch there where I could literally be on the road and not come home, and that just wouldn't fly really in my house. So something's going to have to kind of take a little bit of a backseat.
That's fair. The Women's Amateur Championship, it's going to be very, very exciting. I mean, it's going to be in Port Marnock. That's in itself is a big talking point. Probably the cynic in me wants to say that this is a bid for Port Marnock to host the Open Championship. Would I be correct, you think, in saying that, in your own opinion? And I guess a follow-up to that is that necessarily a bad thing? If the women's game benefits from playing on a world-class course and the venue gets to potentially host the Open Championship off the back of hosting a prestigious amateur championship, surely everyone wins.
100%. Yeah, like I don't think you're too far wrong. I'd like to say you were wrong and that you just want the championship, but maybe they do. I don't know the correct answer, but I would guess that the second part of the question is probably definitely going to do with it, where like, because somebody else had it in Port Marnock when he took it last year. So like it wasn't committed to Port Marnock until last year. I can't remember which course they were doing a bit of renovation work and it wasn't going to be finished. So Port Marnock stepped in late, I suppose, off the back of the talk of them whilst trying to hold it, host an Open Championship. So it's not going to look too bad in the RNA's eyes that they kind of stepped in I know they have 12 yeah. months, but last minute to take it and kind of bail them out a little bit. So there probably is both sides to it. But yeah, look, getting the women to play around Port Marnock in a championship of that magnitude is going to be very special for them. And also very special for Ireland, I think. Like, the women's game is growing here consistently. So it's going to be great just to see. Because I think more people will potentially go to the amateur championship than they will, let's call it, the Women's Irish Am Open. And I'm hoping a lot of people will go to the Am and the Irish Women's Open too, amateur open, we'd say. But, like, something, I've said this before, but I couldn't believe how good the girls were. And that's my fault. And I'll always go back to that. Like, I just didn't know enough. Look, I wasn't into amateur golf as much as I am now, but I remember going to the first couple of events going, these madmen online saying they could beat PGA Tour players, like, off, and they're playing off five. Like, these girls up here would destroy. I was playing off four or five at the time, and they would destroy me. Like, so, like, I'd love people to see that kind of a bit more, I suppose.
Yep. That, look, the quality of women's golf in Ireland is very, very high. I think to give Port Marnock their due, I think they have hosted the Women's Amateur Championship once before, yeah. Albeit 1931. So it's, you know, they may say it's not their first time hosting it, but first time for a while.
Yeah, but I suppose they are very much kind of enriched in amateur golf in kind of lots of different ways. So, like, there is that for them too. So, like, it, like, regardless, like, it's just going to be a great week, I suppose.
Yeah, for sure. From an Irish perspective, you talk about how strong we are in the amateur scene right now. Who would you hope to see kind of contending in there from the women's side?
So, like, if you look at those who have done well in it in recent years, like, Beth seems to love match play. And is really good at it, obviously. Sarah won the close last year, so I'm not really sure on Sarah's story. So you might send me a message, Sarah, just to confirm whether you are or not. But Sarah's going to be turning pro at some point this year. But I would guess, and it's only a guess, that she's probably going to hang on to see what happens with Curtis Cup. So that would mean she'll be there as well. Anya is obviously there, and there's going to be a lot of them actually, I think, because, like, I know, like, the girls in college here, so, like, Kate and Emma and them, they practice in Port Marnock a lot. Like, Minute do it, UCD are up there a lot. So, like, they're going to, there's going to be a lot of familiarity there, and they're playing a lot of good golf. And so I think we could have a couple of people getting to the later stages and giving us a good week.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess from, like, the attraction to enter this and from their side and to really compete is huge. Like, there's the winner gains entry into the AIG Women's Open, the US Women's Open, the Evian, the Chevron, and into the Augusta National Women's Amateur. Like,
yeah.
Getting into all the majors and the ANWA is such an attractive possibility that you're like, God, you'd love to see that from an Irish women's perspective, to see someone competing in every one of the majors and in the ANWA.
Again, the more I get into this stuff, so, like, take Matt played in the Masters last year in the US Open, and Alex played in the Open this year. Again, all kind of rewards of big tournaments.
Yeah.
The buzz that created, and again, Anya, like, in the US Open last year, like, the buzz that gets for the game. So, like, my young daughter, like, talks about Anya, and the only reason she knows her is because of the US Open. And now she knows a bit more because of what I do, but, like, I was watching it on TV and she's seen it and there's a buzz about it and a lot of people talk about it. So I think if you can get players up to that point, because it's great, like, promoting amateur golf like we all do, but I suppose, like, getting them on TV, getting people that they would see talking about them is kind of a massive plus, like.
Yeah, and I think it'll be really exciting from, like, a golf fan's perspective, seeing so many international players being on the island of Ireland from the week before for the amateur championship, that week for the women's amateur, and then again immediately moving on to the Palmer Cup down at La Hinch. It's going to be a really rich quality of golf that's going to be played over those 3 weeks. Will you be over at La Hinch?
Yes, he says kind of hesitantly. Planning to be, as again, it's kind of like, yeah, it's just on the back of a busy week. I will definitely get there at some point. How much of it I'll see, I don't know yet, but I want to get there because, again, like, I want to see the Americans that you're probably not going to see, particularly in the men's game, because a lot of them don't travel over for the amateur anymore. Maybe they will this year and spend a little time playing links golf before that. But I'd like to see a few of them and just see how that fares out. But La Hinch could be very special. I love, like, you follow me on socials, I talk about the South a lot. I love the town, I love the vibe that La Hinch kind of gives off. So I will definitely try and be there for a couple of days, if not all of it. But it's going to be a great week. Like, again, it's a mixed format, so you're going to have, like, the top men's and women's players from the US against the internationals, and, like, you will have the world's best amateurs at this playing La Hinch in match play, which I think will be very interesting to see.
Yeah, one of my like my favorite aspects of the Palmer Cup is it is the fact that it's mixed. You're getting great men and women playing together from an amateur side, from the college side, from the States and everything. From the coaching side, there's a pretty significant Irish interest in there as well.
Yeah. So you have Barry Fenley is the men's coach, the main coach, and then you'll have Aaron as well is going to be the assistant coach to him. So like the men's team is very much dominated by Irish coaches. And I was kind of saying to Barry a while back, like the Palmer Cup is very much like the RNA series have one spot for the top male and female players. So like, and the RNA student tour stuff. So, and then there's not normally a lot more go into the field outside of that. But like, again, with it being in the Hinge, being in the Lynx, like I was kind of saying to Barry, like, do you expect to bring in one or two more from here? He said, well, they would definitely fit the core. So hopefully we get a number of Irishmen. And again, there's a good handful of Irish players over in college in America as well, also playing fairly well. So hopefully we get a decent turnout of players again, just to kind of bring the week. I think the more Irish that we get on the team, the bigger the crowd we possibly get down there as well.
For people that may not know, what kind of representation has Irish golfers had on previous Palmer Cup teams?
So you've had a few. So like in the recent one, you had Ryan Griffin, Lauren Walsh and Max Kennedy. I know Stuart Graham played one. I think David Kidd played one a while back. So they've been kind of there for a bit, I suppose. Like you get some through the student tour series, as I mentioned. But like again, if they're performing well in college, like Lauren and Max got it based off performances in America last year. So they'll have enough. But again, it's like the international team is 24 players. So 12 men and 12 women from all over the world. So you're not going to have 7 or 8 players there. But again, like there's enough of them doing good things at the moment. Like Kate Lanigan is fairly high up on the Order of Merit on the female side. There's 3 or 4 of the lads from Maynooth high enough up on the men's side. So if you got 2 from the RNA series, it's a big ask. But if you did, well, then there's a couple of playing well over in college in America as well that potentially might come back that have some good results in the South in previous years. So.
God, that'd be pretty exciting, wouldn't it? Having like 3, potentially even 4 Irish golfers in a team of 24. That's a pretty significant percentage, which would be, like I said, the more Irish in the team, hopefully then the higher the turnout for the event.
Yeah.
But I imagine it's a type of event, though, that given the type of town that Lahinch is and the type of event that it is, it's going to be pretty well supported anyway.
100%. Like everything that happens in Lahinch as a club, they get really well behind it. And I think even the town itself, like when you're at the South, you'd be very surprised at the South. Like when you're sitting down in the clubhouse in Lahinch, people will just wander in, obviously, for a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. And like a lot of locals will come in and a lot of business owners will also come up and they'll be chatting. But like they'd know the players over the past number of years and they'll be sitting down having a coffee and chatting. And the players really like that. So that's not going to change for Palmer Cup, I suppose. Like it's just, it's probably going to intensify, if anything else. And I think like as a town, it'll get a crowd. And obviously the time of year as well, kind of early July, like if things go well and let's say there's a crowd there, you're going to have a lot of people on the beach kind of going, oh, what's happening up there? Let's take a walk up. So you'll actually get a crowd unknowns that wasn't planning on going there. We'll say. It will be supported, I suppose. It's just getting, as I said, like if we can get enough Irish there, we'll probably get a few more kind of brought down with them as well.
With the Palmer Cup this year and then the Walker Cup next year, I know obviously there were a few international players that played in the amateur championships in 2023. Mm-hmm. Do we think we're going to see a higher percentage of internationals playing in the South this year?
I think it's a funny one because at the time, so like if it was after, if Palmer Cup was after the South, 100% I think you'd see them. I think we're going to like the amateur championship leading into the Palmer Cup, I think there's a big window there. If particularly the Americans, if they come over early for the amateur championship, they're not necessarily going to hang on for the South because they'd now be in Ireland for the bones of 2 months, we'd say. And we'll definitely get a more field. Like I think a lot of the English will come over, a lot of the Scottish, like that don't normally play the South but will play the Irish Am. They'll probably come over, I would guess. And like if you're not going to be, if you're going to be in the GB 19 for the next 2 years, like over the next 2 years, we'd say, to make that team in Lahinch, you probably want to play this out both years just to kind of say, look, I can get around this golf course. Like,
yeah, it's not the kind of golf course where you can turn up the week of a championship and just expect to be able to play, take your game. You do need to make your way around Lahinch a couple of times.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think a couple of times is even selling a short. It's one of them ones where you could hit so many great shots in Lahinch, and I won't say get robbed, but like they're probably just not the right shot. Like they're very good shots, but they're probably not the right shot. Like there's definitely funnels and channels that you kind of want to know where they are before you kind of get comfortable there. And at that, like it's a very playable golf course, but it's also very kind of tricky on the go. Like if you're not comfortable off the tee there, you'll get fouled up very fast.
Yeah, very true. So that's it for the team, for the international tournaments, we'll say the team events and the international events that happen on the island. So there still are regularly scheduled tournaments, yeah. From the major side. Have there been any significant changes to the formats or the criteria for any of the big tournaments coming up this season?
So first off, I suppose the West has gone back to 64, which is massive. I think like they trialed the 54 hole stroke play and 16 match play, and in theory it's a very good idea for the market they wanted it. So like a lot of lads want more stroke play. I think for time of year and event it probably was never going to work. And so that's gone back to 64, which I suppose takes a bit of pressure. Like Sligo was so hard at that time of year. Like you're up to the elements all of the time, and like I've watched lads the last couple of years and struggle to kind of finish out rounds just because the wind has got up or whatever else. But so like giving people a chance to kind of more people into match play where look, it's just you against the other person. It doesn't really matter how hard it blows or what side of the draw you get. I think that's a very good change for them. And I think I mentioned at the start of the pod as well that the mid-ams are gone from 30 to 25. Not being received as well as I thought it would have been actually. Definitely my DMs anyway, but it's a case of I think there's a very good culture in the mid-am. I think there's a good group of lads that kind of, I suppose, aren't necessarily competing in championships any longer, that kind of had a home at mid-am level. And now there's almost a feeling of golf is getting very bunched up. Excuse me. Or like, you're going to have the same people competing for all championships at that point. But so that's a bit of a... I didn't see it as a negative when I posted it, but definitely the reaction has been, there's been some positive, obviously, but I think the reaction was very much missed on it. And then the women's closes going into a massive overhaul. So that's going to go to, it's going to be a women's close stroke play champion after top six holes. With the top 16 then going forward for the main match play, and the girls is going to run at a similar kind of, a similar style. And then for the close, a bit of a funny one as well, is that like it's going to run around the same time as the European Teams Championships for the ladies. So mm-hmm. The top four Wagger players who are entered but can't play a stroke play will then get a spot into the match play automatically. That's not a new thing. It's back. It's new for the women's one this year. I think it's a bit of a... You definitely can't take away from players who are representing Ireland. So you can't take an opportunity away from them. I think that's what Golf Ireland are looking at here, saying, well, if we're going to ask you to go to the teams, we don't want you to miss the chance of a national title. And I think that's where the separation for the stroke play and the match play title kind of comes in the closed championship this year. So I think that's another kind of significant change. And then I suppose one more kind of big one really is the girls are getting an Open Championship of their own. So for the last couple of years, they've fallen under. You've had the Women's Open and the Girls on at the same time, and the Girls was kind of a secondary, is very much the wrong word, but I think that's what the feeling was. It was almost like you were competing for the Women's one and the Girls one was also going on. So they're going to be run independently this year, and the Boys also have an Open Championship as well this year on the Ballyliffin. But so there's a few changes there. The world hasn't completely fallen apart. They're kind of been... upended, but there's enough there to kind of make enough people happy, I suppose, and enough people kind of second guessing some of them.
That's very interesting about the women's and girls. And is that down to a case of just participation numbers on the girls' side have increased, and now it just from a feasibility side, they're getting their own tournament?
I think so. I think the girls was put in with the women's initially, and this is only my own opinion, to be honest with you, but I think the girls were put in with the women's just to bolster up the field of both. But like there's a lot of young girls coming through playing really good golf, and it's definitely something that's grown. So I think like giving them their own championship is great. I still think you're going to see a very similar feel in the women's. Like a lot of these young girls that I'm talking about will be competing in the women's because they're good enough. But I think rather than, I suppose, having it as a secondary championship, and I don't mean it to sound like I'm saying it, but just give them their own stage, because that's what they deserve, I suppose. And I think that's what it is. I think there's enough there now to kind of separate it back out, is probably the correct way of saying it.
Yeah, good to see. And it's nice to see that side of Irish golf is continuing to grow. And hopefully it just means that in the next few years, that pipeline of women's golfers will continue to be really strong. Because like we were saying earlier on, you look at both the men's and women's amateur side, you have players turning pro and essentially like every other month now at this point, both men and women. That you're like, wow, okay, they're going to do very well when they turn pro. And then a couple months later, they turn pro and you're like, wow, okay, we're in a pretty good spot. Hopefully that continues on now.
Yeah, I think like the big thing at the moment, and again with that, like with players turning pro, there's a lot of players, particularly in the men's side, have turned pro this year, and there's been a couple in the women's as well. And like, you can almost see it. There's a cycle of life, let's call it, within golf. Like we were talking about what makes golf endearing to us all, but there's a cycle when you get to the top level of golf, there's a cycle where there's a jumping off point almost, where like, championships become enough so that you get guys that were kind of, they're going to turn. And like, we have a lot of really quality players turning pro at the moment. And again, in the women's side, like we were just chatting about Lauren, I expect a massive career from Lauren. I think she's very much kind of, she's done everything at amateur level and has taken to pro golf so far in a very good manner. So I think that's like, she could have a massive year this year. So I think hopefully in the next 3 or 4 years, we have more to cheer about at pro level than we currently do. I think we had this conversation with someone at the start of last year, and I was definitely a bit more bleak on it. We're like, unless McIlroy's playing or Lowry's playing, and obviously Leona, you kind of didn't have much going on. Like, there was a couple of weeks we had no Irish pro on DP or Challenge Tour, but they're slowly coming around. So hopefully, and there's a number of pros there that have been pro for 2 or 3 years and could find lightning in a bottle and kind of kick on, you know.
Moving on to the men's side, and the major championships are beginning in just a couple of weeks' time. You're talking about there the changes to the West. Yeah. James Claridge, the reigning champion, is he coming back, do you think, this year?
I don't think he is, actually. I had a quick look at it on the day before it closed, and he wasn't in the field. So I don't think he is coming back. I know we had a few more over early last year, and again, Walker Cup year, so they wanted to compete with the Irish lads as much as possible, and vice versa. It's weird. There was definitely a bit more back and forth would have been a Walker Cup year, where they were kind of almost told, look, if you want a spot, compete against each other rather than kind of individual championship stuff. But yeah, as I'm talking to you, looking out the window here, and it's lashing rain and it's blowing about 30 miles an hour, I kind of feel like I'm in Sligo at the moment.
Yeah, that sounds about right for Irish weather in March, all right, yeah.
It hasn't stopped since July, Johnny. That's the problem.
I know. It snowed there briefly, which is a nice, which was a change. Not necessarily a nice change, but it was a change.
I was looking at a video the other day. I know, and we'll go back to the rest in a second, so I know, but down in the south, and the video, it's a Collie's putt on, I think it's the 6th hole or 7th hole. At this point, I had opened my jacket for 15 seconds. I literally opened my jacket to get my towel. And by the time I closed it, my entire inside was now soaked. My rain gear was not with me anymore. So that was mid-July. So worrying about the West, which is going to be early again this year. Easter falls early, so the West is the back end of this month. You just kind of got to go with the elements, I think.
So for people that wouldn't necessarily follow amateur golf quite as closely as we would or as you would, do each of the, we call them the major championships for lack of a better term. So starting off with the West, do they all offer different tests or ask different questions with players? And if so, what is the question that the West asks?
The West is patience. What I've seen of the West over the last number of years is just who can be the most patient. Like Sligo, I'm going to say the first couple of holes aren't the hardest. And then it's kind of one of these courses where you kind of, it gets you into the run nicely. And as you get to the back end of it, it's a case of, can you hang on here now? So like whatever score you've built pretty much coming off 13, can you keep it coming into the house? That's kind of what the question there is. It's almost like, yeah, this isn't too bad. There's a few hard holes along the way or whatever, but literally 14 to the clubhouse is into the wind. Usually cold that time of year. Can you just not give up at this point? Like, so it's kind of a bit of war of attrition up there really. So that's, from what I've seen, the West tends to be the toughest one in terms of just that kind of closing stretch. Again, I've seen it where it's been 54 and 16 match play. This will probably bring up a different side of it again this year for me. But at the moment, that would be my kind of take on the West. It's just a case of, can you outlast County Sligo, basically.
That's interesting because County Sligo is obviously a very, very big ballpark. Throw it into championship conditions in Easter when the weather could do anything. The yeah. Irish Amateur is then coming back for coming back to County Sligo.
Yeah.
Will the conditions be particularly different? And if so, is it a completely different question being asked?
I think they will. I'm hoping they will. Like, I was talking with a couple of players and they've played the Irish Am in Sligo before kind of that time of year. And they said that it does. It tends to, it gets a slight bit more of a bounce in it as well, which obviously is going to help with the kind of longer stuff into the wind. And right. it doesn't tend to blow as hard. Like, there's always a big thing where an Easter falls early versus late, that if it's early, kind of prayer for kind of forgiveness on the way up. If it falls a bit late, you potentially could do something up there, like, you know. So, and obviously with the Irish Am being a couple of more weeks after that, you'd be hoping that it kind of it pans out some bit for us.
You spoke about it a little bit earlier on, but the South is a very special week for amateur golf, like not just because of the course that's played on, but the atmosphere in and around Lahinch, you mm-hmm. spoke about it briefly, is the town, for anyone that hasn't been there, it encapsulates the golf course, not just physically, but kind of emotionally as well.
Yeah.
When a tournament is hosted, the entire town of Lahinch really buys in, and it seems to be that's the case every time the South rolls in.
Yeah, the South is a very different one. Like, players go down to win it, like they do everywhere else, but they're all way more relaxed. Like, as I mentioned with the clubhouse a while ago, and you see a number of players having a couple of pints most evenings, which you don't really see in amateur golf as much anymore. And they just tend to relax a bit more. And even lads that miss the cut and stuff, they'll hang around and just spend a couple of days in Lahinch having a couple of pints and enjoying the nightlife and come out and watch golf. So there's a bit more of a festival kind of atmosphere. And Lahinch is Lahinch, like a beautiful golf course. I think some of the best scenery you're going to see all year. And I think that's the challenges of Lahinch again. It's kind of similar, where it's a case of just kind of hanging on to make a cut. And then it's a dogged match play for you, I suppose.
So the weather conditions last year were pretty rough, if I remember rightly, you were talking about there as well. That's not usually the case, though. I mean, it should be in the heart of summer. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's Lahinch is almost the one where you're kind of saying it's going to be, if you have any chance of sunshine in Ireland, it's usually the end of that one, because it's the back end of, like, the end of July, start of August. That's kind of peak summer for Ireland whenever we do get one. And we kind of got it in June last year, which was a bit unusual. Yeah. Yeah, the conditions last year, like the final between Peter and Colley, I don't think I'd seen anything as bad as that before. It was just so cold, it was so wet, it was probably blowing 40, I'm going to say, and it was just like non-stop. Like it was one of the only few times where they were thinking of not playing the final until the following day. Now the two lads kind of said, let's just go and do it. Like, and it wasn't very enjoyable standing around in it.
I can imagine from your perspective, you were like, lads, come on, let's do this tomorrow, please.
Yeah, do it tomorrow or something else. Like,
yeah, because like that's a match, that's a matchup that you'd love to watch if the conditions were anyway better. Peter O'Keefe taking on Colley Campbell in the final is that's one of the ones that if you're anywhere near Lahinch, people were trying to get to it because they're both A, lovely guys you really want to see do very, very well. But then also just the quality of golf that both of them played that week was phenomenal.
Yeah, no, like the golf that week was, I remember chatting to Colley about it, I think before the semi-final or maybe before the final, I was saying to him, like, he looked like the guy that was just getting better with every match and every round. Peter loves the hinge, like, so Peter kind of got down there and just played well from the minute he arrived in sight. But Colley, you could see he was getting better and better. And even the conditions, like, something I'd always go back to, Johnny, is that, like, how good these players are, I think, gets overlooked sometimes because score can be 3 or 4 over par, depending on whether it's, like, as I said, I can play off 5 to down to kind of 2-ish. I wasn't breaking 140, like, I wasn't, like, I know, like, there's no point in sitting here saying, oh, I might have shot 80 or 90, or I wasn't, it wasn't there. Like, there was a tee shot on 6 is the lovely hole, yeah, so 7. Like, the two boys made par on 7, and I don't think they'll ever, like, you'll never see two better pairs. Like wind blowing sideways, like, it was definitely, like, the rain was so bad, the boat held 15 footers a pair. Like, it's just outstanding level of golf in the conditions. And yeah, it was a good match. And conditions didn't make it as exciting, maybe, as it could have been. But if you're a golf sicko like myself, I actually enjoyed watching the grind in those conditions.
What's the question that Lahinch asks of his players then?
Don't do the silly mistakes, because they're very easy to come by. I think, again, there is going to be that team here where it's kind of like, I suppose, just stay tuned in. Like, you can make birdies, particularly if the wind doesn't blow in Lahinch and if it's not raining sideways, you can make birdies all day long there. You're not going to tear the place apart, but you can make birdies. So it's a case of, when you get to that kind of, like, four is a relatively easy par five for these lads, but if you don't walk off with birdie, you're kind of disappointed. Five can be, it's just a weird tee shot. And then six, seven, eight, nine, that kind of stretch there from kind of four to nine, if you just don't get in trouble there. And it's kind of similar again, then we're like, tee shot and 16 can be kind of funny, the tee shot and 17 can be kind of funny. So, like, there's a couple of stretches where they kind of, you just need to stay awake and the rest will just take care of the chances that the course is going to give you. Like,
yeah, because the Hinch, as tough a course as it is, it does give players chances. Like, I mean, every course does, but yeah, the Hinch, it's an infinitely fair golf course. That,
yeah, 100%.
Yeah, yeah, there are, you know, there is the Dell and the Klondike that people talk about, which are quirky in a match play situation. But then there's plenty of other opportunities throughout the 18 holes there for you to score. And it's, yeah, I think it all levels out. It's a very fair golf course.
Well, yeah, like it's one of them tests or courses where you just kind of, it'll give you what you deserve out of it. It won't give you anything more, but what you deserve, so how well you play, will be very much rewarded there.
Moving on to the Irish, the AIG Men's Close. This year it's going to be at Dún Laoghaire Golf Club, and the Close is an interesting one for me. I always find it's the only major that's regularly on a parkland golf course. And sometimes I try and find it relatable criteria between the winners of the Close and people who go on to do very well in the professional game. What's the excitement level toward Dún Laoghaire? And obviously Malone was a great challenge last year, but Dún Laoghaire will be a different challenge again.
Yeah, and I think it's that. It's like, the fact that there's not a lot of parkland. Like, you have parkland obviously in Portumna as well, and Cork is kind of parkland, but in terms of national championships and like the big sixes as we're talking about, like, it's the only one that kind of gets a run at parkland. I know, like, the Irish Am has before, but like, this is kind of one that they've almost set their stall at, like, let's give a national championship on parkland. That seems to be the case lately. They'll probably make a link now after saying this, like, but anyway. Yeah, it does. It seems to be the one. And the lads love it because they all offer a different challenge. Like, Dún Laoghaire also has the Cups and Shields this year, I think, as well, or had them last year. So, like, it can give the lads a bit of a chance to go up and play it and kind of see it. And I think a lot of players, particularly at the top end of the scale, we'll say, like, that might be turning pro, might be looking at going pro, really rate their season based off how they get on at that championship. It's a very different challenge. It is a ball striking kind of, if you're striking it well, you should be kind of getting birdie chances on a parkland course, I suppose.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because I guess from the women's side, obviously it's in Roscommon this year, the Close, but it was in Connemara the year before that. And then the year before that, we were in the Grange in Rathfarnham. So that seems to be chopping and changing a little bit. It doesn't seem to have quite the identity that you're saying, that this is going to be the national championship on parkland golf courses.
Yeah. I suppose, look, I'm giving it that identity more than it's kind of, I don't think that's the direct message. That's just the way it seems to feel to me. But the women's has swapped and changed. I suppose, like, the hardest thing that I've seen that Golf Ireland have to do was get golf courses. They approached the schedule this year, and in fairness, they put it out a bit early, and there must have been 10, 20 spaces blank that didn't have, like, championships that didn't have courses. They all have them now, but, like, as much as we've kind of said it a couple of times, like, golf, we all love it, and it's kind of something that's passionate in Ireland. Giving up your course doesn't seem to be as appealing as it once was. So, like, the men's majors all have homes, bar the Close, we'd say, and obviously the Irish men's moves around, but, like, everyone will kind of take the Irish men's open, and they'll all take the women's open as well, to be fair. But I think once you go outside that kind of place, it gets very hard to kind of cement golf courses to championships. If they don't have a history, it's very hard to get back in there. It's kind of a hard one to juggle them all, I suppose. And I think that's probably why it's been going in different types of courses in the last couple of years.
In your opinion now, why do you think it is that certain clubs are hesitant to host amateur championships?
Money. If I used to be totally honest and kind of look at it, like if you're holding, let's say, let's talk the close, we're talking about the close on both sides and they're both kind of similar where they run over kind of 4 days plus a practice day. Your course is gone for a week, pretty much, to both members and any visitors depending. So if you're talking like, if you want to get a really big golf course to hold them, again, it's just hard to kind of convince them to close down for a week for you. It's Golf Ireland, it's not the PGA Tour, so you're not getting paid 20 or you're not getting paid 200 grand for them to take over your golf courses. Thank you very much for helping amateur golf, which I'd love if everybody could do it. Business sense probably doesn't make business sense for everybody to do it. Like,
yeah, that's fair. I think at the end of the day as well, members want to play their golf course, and sometimes as nice as it is to host a championship, people just want to play their golf course.
Yeah, no, we can be very selfish, unfortunately.
Yeah, well. So I guess before we wrap up here, I'm going to ask you what you're most excited for this season. There is, as we've alluded to a couple of times now, a conveyor belt of players, right, who are in a bit of a transition period, both on the men's and the women's side, where we might see them to a point on the amateur circuit this year, but come May or June, they may turn professional. Who are some of those players that we will probably see leave the amateur ranks, and what kind of gap does that open up for younger players to step into?
Yeah, so like we've kind of, I suppose, like I think additions to the pro ranks from where we are, there's probably two, maybe three that I kind of know of, we'd say, and they're more than likely going to happen in the next 2 months. I think everybody else we probably will see for the schedule of the summer that we have right now. Again, everybody can change their mind, but like with the there's probably 10 or 12 gone this year. Between both kind of grades anyway. What does it open up? There's so many people there, Johnny, and I was actually talking to someone about this the other day, that like there's so many people there that I think it just needs someone to catch spark. Like I think we've lost a lot of personalities this year. Almost sounds like the PGA Tour and Live. Like we find a lot of personalities in the game this year. So for me, on a very selfish note, if anyone wants to be a personality and going to give me loads of content, let's hit me up. But I think that's what you kind of almost need. Like I think the game is going to the stage now where like recognized faces, once they turn pro, you have to wait and see who comes next almost. Like, and then are they kind of endearing to want them to be at that level? I think, and that's where you almost know who the pros are. If like, that's going to sound really strange, maybe it doesn't, but to me it doesn't, but you can almost tell the guys and girls that want to turn pro, because they're very interactive, as you would see with like podcasts as well, like because they know that there's a reward for being putting themselves out there. Whereas I was chatting to a guy on the phone today and about something else, and he was very much like standoffish, like this was just a conversation between me and him, and I'm kind of going, okay, so like you want all of the next part, well, I'm only just some guy on the phone, like you need to learn to kind of interact a little bit. I think that's what we'll have to kind of see this year. I think with the ones turning pro, in terms of young kids coming up, Sean Keelan, if we're still classing him as a young kid, he's probably 17 now, but he plays golf like he's 25. Jack Murphy, Gavin Tiernan, and the men's side in particular, like they're all coming out of boys' golf into men's golf, we'd say. I would expect to see them a bit more in the men's circuit this year. Olivia on the girls' side is probably going to be a girl for the next 3 or 4 years, but very capable of competing on the women's circuit. And again, Hannah is the same, and Kate Dillon. Like there's a couple, there seems to be a class of about 5 or 6 standout on both ends. I'm not going to name them, I forget somebody and they'll all be giving up to me. So I don't think we're going to struggle to fill the gap, Johnny. It's just how much do they want to fill the gap themselves, I suppose.
Yeah, I think you're dead right when you say you talk to certain players and you can tell from the personality straight away if they have the personality and the mindset for the professional ranks, because you talk about the PGA Tour and Live and the likes of that, you instantly can tell like who knows that golf is an entertainment product at the end of the day, as well as a sport. People who are there just like, no, I just want to play my championships and just compete in amateur level. You know that they'll be amateur golfers for a long, long time. But then there are people who have the ambition to turn pro and are aware of the fact that this is a career and not just the sport of golf. There's a lot more to it than putting
the ball
home. It's
understanding that, like, it's understanding the job, isn't it, really, that it's a job. And I think golf, probably all sports are the same, but we, like, golf as we know it, like, it's become very much that way, where, like, you have to be ready to be pro, or you have to be ready to want the kind of the spotlight, I suppose. So that's kind of, I think, and that's what you're looking at this year. Like, I think Irish golf is in a really good space. I think, like, with everyone turning pro, like, and it's good to see people getting results. Like, you see Rob Moran is doing well on Alps Tour there at the moment, and as we kind of alluded to Lauren earlier, the more we can see that, the better it's going to be for amateur golf. Like, it's like everything else. Everything feeds down. So, like, if you can see the people you played with last week or last year competing at a higher level than you are currently, well, that's going to drive you on and the people around you on. So I think that's what amateur golf probably needed and hopefully will get in the next year or two.
So what are you most excited for then this year?
I think I said the women's this year. And I think that's what I probably stick by, to Curtis Cup if I can get there. And I'm just excited to get going, to be honest. I'm really excited to get to the West and just kind of get the year kicked off. Doing it a small bit longer now, I might spend a bit more time in the clubhouse than I do on the golf course, maybe. I don't know. I know as soon as I get there, I'll walk the whole place. But I just... Yeah, for me, it's a case of just getting going. In terms of championships, as I said, I want to see the women's AM in Port Marnock. I think it's going to be very special. Them international ones kind of really piqued my interest this year. And then it's just a case of, I suppose, I get more and more into the Irish circuit as the year goes on. So, like, once you start seeing all the Ramirez kind of wiggling themselves out and who's playing, and I suppose you get a kind of feel for what's going to happen for the year. That becomes, the Irish stuff is always my main focus, but becomes more kind of prevalent in terms of coverage as we kind of start to figure out what's happening for the year.
Yep, I'm excited, and I'm looking forward to catching up with you throughout the season. We're going to be having a number of live broadcasts from a couple of the championships this year, and Gary, we're going to have you on the podcast throughout the season, kind of recapping and previewing a number of tournaments. So looking forward to spending a lot more time with you.
Yeah, I know it should be a good year. It'd be good to have, I suppose, a bit more coverage on the amateur game, and kind of as much as we can get our own little pieces out there.
Love yourself. Listen, Gary, thank you very much for coming on, and we'll talk to you soon.
Cheers, Johnny.
On the tee, Jack Nicklaus.
This is the minute that millions around the world have waited for.
We will allow you to enjoy all of this. They are dancing in the pubs of Dublin. Harrington with an ace.
And we have a shining star at sunset. Rory continues his run to greatness.
The return to glory.